It's showtime.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
Washington is fundamentally corrupt. There are more words in the IRS code than there are in the Bible.
Made in America, heard around the world. You're listening to Blunt Force Truth. I'm Chuck Woldery, along with my co-host Mark Young. And Beto O'Rourke is now, he's given up on America. He's now gone to Mexico, and he's campaigning in Mexico.
Well, you get a jump on it, because since they all want to jump over to this side, you might as well go over and campaign early.
I mean, seriously, it's amazing. He's talking about how climate change is driving everybody up there, and it's America's fault, and
everything
empathizes with them, and we're just a bad country. I don't understand why all these people want to come to this bad country, but they do.
Well, that's just it. We're running concentration camps, and I don't ever recall seeing anything in history where people broke into a concentration camp.
Yeah, I know.
It seems like
away from one.
Odd, right. But at any rate, and you got his name wrong. I've told you before, on this show, it's Beto O'Rourke.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah.
Not Beto, it's Beta, as in beta male, because he really fits that bill. Chuck, I've got something here that we were just talking on our last show. We were talking about Bretton Woods, and we were talking about some of the globalism that's going on.
Right.
Mike Rogers. Are you familiar with Mike Rogers?
Yeah, Mike Rogers was he an admiral or something? Admiral Rogers?
No, Mike Rogers I'm talking about is a congressman from here in Michigan.
Oh, okay. All right. Another, the other Mike Rogers.
Yes. So Mike Rogers here in Michigan has just exposed a very sinister little piece of data buried inside a Democratic bill in Congress.
Yeah, what would that be?
And I know you are struggling to think that a politician would secretly bury a piece of information.
I just don't understand. Yeah.
I will tell you what it is. It is that the Democrats have written in to a new funding bill a 2-year pilot program for UN peacekeepers to take over our borders from the CBP.
Well, that just makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Well, think about what we're talking about.
It is an international border. Why not have international people take care of it?
You're talking about putting you're talking about allowing an invading army onto our soil.
No, they're talking about it. I'm not talking about it.
Well, I mean, we are talking about it, but this is what they're proposing. They're proposing allowing a foreign military on our soil. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're on everybody else's soil. Why not? Think about it. We're in Japan. We're in Germany. We're in where else are we? We're in Afghanistan. We're in Iraq. We're everywhere.
What are the implications of this?
Oh, I know. I know what you're saying. I'm just making fun because
I know
it's obvious.
But think about now. We had during the debates. We had Elizabeth Warren, who said that she would be okay going door to door to collect people's guns.
Yeah.
Who do you think they would ask to do that? Would it be police? Would it be U.S. military?
Well, maybe NATO.
Well, that's the whole point. If you're going to allow blue helmet UN peacekeeping soldiers onto our soil, what else are you going to ask them to do?
Listen, let me put it this way. If you really want to put an obnoxious group that does absolutely nothing on our soil like the NATO, I mean, give me a break. These guys they're basically observe everywhere they go. They don't do anything. They just observe. They're like that guy in the store who says, no, I'm not really a policeman. I'm just an observer.
Well, I think it's a really bad idea, but what I want people to understand is this is the type of subversive and under the radar things that politicians do.
Unfortunately, that's true. And they always put it in a bill that somebody needs. They have to pass it in order to get it done and blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on.
Or it'll be some bill that passes at 3 a.m.
This happens too on a Friday night.
Well, that's how they always do. Whenever they vote themselves a pay raise, it's always on a Friday at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wouldn't you like to be able to vote yourself a pay raise? I would love that.
I do it all the time. It's called work harder.
Well, I know, but you run your company. I'm basically a jockey for everybody's horse.
Or are you a horse for everybody else's jockey?
Or I'm a horse for everybody's jockey, whatever, however you want to put it.
Well, speaking of you being a horse and a jockey,
yes,
we're gonna spin the show into a little bit of an adult direction today, folks. So
is this a warning to our?
I am warning
children sitting in a room.
Yes, I'm warning to get the small children out of the room now
and out of the car.
Put the show on hold for a bit.
We just set our kids on the side of the road while we listen to this.
Well, we could put them in a cage.
Well, that's true.
Because that's what we do with kids in America. We put them in cages. So at any rate, we're going to talk about the issue of sexual performance, and we're going to talk about...
We're going to talk about ED.
Well, that's all part of it.
Sexual performance sounds like a show in France in the 1800s where they took these little things and put them behind a screen. Please.
All right, this is not a Muppet program.
Yeah, all right.
So at any rate, we have two experts with us today, Chuck. We have two doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our doctors
is rare for us. We normally have people who are just, you know, MAs, not PhDs. But they're not PhDs. They're actually DRs.
They are like the MD type of doctor. We're used to the type of doctors who don't make you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of doctors we're used to. So anyways, we have Emily Porter and Elmer Evangelista. Now, are you guys both MDs, by the way?
Yes, we are. I am. How are you guys? Sir.
We're doing well. So appreciate you being here on Blunt Force Truth. Now, here's where I'm going to go. Now, you guys, we were introduced to you guys by a company called Gainswave. And I'll tell you why I find this interesting. It's very much the practice in American medicine, or I'll even use the word allopathic medicine, that if you're a physician, you fix everything with a drug. If you're a surgeon, you fix everything with a knife. But we're starting to find out that there are other ways to treat things, that we can treat things with devices, things like Gainswave, things like AlphaStem. There's so many different things that we can
speak English, body. Mark. I have no idea what AlphaStem is. What is that? You can't just blow by that and expect everybody to go, oh, yeah, nod like sheep. Come on, what's it? What is it?
Okay, let me help you out. AlphaStem is actually taking a microscopic or a microdose of electricity, and you're sending it into the brain. And what you're doing is you're raising alpha waves in the brain. So what does that do for you?
Execution, but go ahead.
It's not. So it's using a very mild electrical stimulation to lift things like anxiety and depression, which think about it. Now think about how we are so dependent on stuff like antidepressants. But we can deal with some of these antidepressants sometimes with devices. Well, Gainswave.
Is that true? I mean, electroshock's been around forever.
It's not electroshock. I
mean, no, okay.
We're not talking about electroshock.
Well, I mean, that's the first thing that comes to mind, though, to a common person like me who's totally uneducated in this field.
Yeah, it's not that at all. We have another device that we use a lot, which is called a Halo Sport. Have either of you seen a Halo Sport yet?
I haven't.
I've heard
amazing.
Of it.
Amazing. So Halo Sport, I'll explain to you real quick, Chuck. I think it's like these headphones I'm wearing.
Well, explain it to the two doctors, too,
because I am.
They can rebut you.
So we're looking at a device that looks like these set of headphones, and across this top band is a series of rubber tips. Those rubber tips, you get them wet, and they make contact with the scalp. And what you're doing is you're putting a mild electrical stimulation into the motor cortex of the brain. If you ever get a chance, try one of these. In fact, Elmer, if you ever want to try mine, because we're close, I'll give you mine
Absolutely,
a try.
Absolutely, man, for sure.
What these things will
you
do.
You have one of these at home?
Of course I have one at home. I have
So what
I have my own freaking clinic.
You put it on and then take it off and go, I feel pretty. Oh, so pretty. I mean, what is it?
So
the I don't mean to mock you, but it is fun to do.
It is fun to mock me. You stimulate the motor cortex of the brain. Yes. And what happens, Chuck, and I'll let you try this. What happens, let's say you want to play guitar.
Okay.
What stimulating the motor cortex does is it increases the connectivity between the brain and between motor skills.
Okay.
So all of a sudden you put this on and you start playing guitar, you're playing guitar much better.
So I turned from Chuck Woolery to Eric Clapton just in a second or two.
I don't know. It's a device. It's not a miracle.
Okay.
But at any rate, you're playing guitar better. You're skiing better. You're typing faster.
Hmm.
You can pick up a lot of increases in
motor skills.
Motor skills.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're starting to experiment with it because we've actually been taking it and putting it across the front and putting that same stimulation across into the prefrontal cortex and starting to use it to measure learning ability, to actually increase recall and learning. But there's a lot of these kind of things. And GainsWave is one of those devices that in many cases people can use in place of using such things as, you know, Viagra or Cialis or some of those drugs. So I'm going to jump in here and I will start with Emily first. Emily, for our audience, would you give them an explanation of GainsWave?
Sure. GainsWave is a company, it's a marketing company, but they have a protocol that they've tested and proven. Basically, it's called extracorporeal shockwave therapy, or ESWT, and it's low intensity shockwaves, sound waves. Shockwaves sound scary and it doesn't actually hurt, but sound waves, they use high intensity shockwaves to break apart kidney stones. And so if you use that, break apart kidney stones, then they make them easier for you to pass rather than having to have a surgery. So it's sort of a similar technology, but with a different intensity of sound waves. And basically, you can use one of many different devices, but the settings and the protocol are standardized among GainsWave providers. And we use them on areas of the penis, the shaft of the penis, and then kind of the areas in the groin area. There's more erectile tissue underneath, and then underneath the scrotum, there's all this erectile tissue. And the sound waves, what they do is they go and they sort of clear out any of the plaque that comes with time, the soft plaques that happen with age, cholesterol, smoking, blood pressure, all those things that sort of happen. And it's sort of like cleaning the pipe. And then with time, the cool thing is there's some micro trauma that happens from this vibration on the vessels. And then with time, it actually stimulates your body to make new vessels, and new nerves. So the analogy that I use in my clinic is if you have a bad road where you always have traffic, and then now you have a wreck and things aren't working well. What GainsWave kind of does on its first, you know, couple treatments is it brings a wrecker in and it clears the wreck. And then over the course of say 8 to 12 weeks, you're actually building new roads.
So Chuck, this is kind of like building those new roads. It's kind of like having somebody operate a jackhammer on your wedding tackle.
I wouldn't go that far, but fairly close. You know, the interesting thing about that is something that you just said is that since I'm a heart patient, I've noticed that over 25 years, I had a four-way bypass, and I've been checked lately, and three of those have failed.
Yeah, you now have a 1.2 bypass.
They've collapsed, but now my surgeon said to me, well, the point is it'll create other avenues. You'll have other veins come in and take over, and don't worry about that. So I'm still breathing and still living and, you know, doing fairly well. So apparently he's correct. So is that what happens? You have new pathways of blood coming into that area, into the groin area?
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. So the trauma, for whatever reason, it causes new generation of new blood vessels. So initially they've been using this technology in Europe for 40 years. I feel like we're always 40 or 50 years behind and everything costs six times as much here and doesn't work as well. But they've been using it for 40 or 50 years in Europe. And we use it in others. I mean, I use the device in our office for other things. So plantar fasciitis, for cellulite. We use it after cool sculpting when we freeze fat. And then we added it for GainsWave. And you can actually use it on the labia for women and the clitoris. So that's called FemiWave. And we do some of that in our office as well. But we do get an increase in sensitivity, an increase in blood flow from the, what they say, microtrauma. You said jackhammer. It definitely does make a lot of noise. I've never had anybody that said that it hurt. I don't numb anybody in my office. They don't like to feel numb. And so it's really a painless procedure. And the women I do numb, but the men I don't.
So let me bounce over to Elmer here. So Dr. Evangelista, when we're talking about things like ED, this is a real medical problem.
Oh, absolutely, man. I see it every day in my practice. I've been practicing for over a decade, and this is the biggest complaint that I get, most especially from their wives, the women. The women are complaining because the husband can't penetrate them.
Well, it sounds to me like if I'm listening to the radio all the time and I hear all these ads and everything, I'm hearing ads now, doctors, about guys in their 30s and 40s. So this has nothing to do with age, apparently. There are other factors if you're talking about men in their 30s and 40s who are having the same problem.
Well, the thing is, you know, it can happen at any age, but it's more common in the older people. But about 50% of men over the age of 40 have already some degree of erectile dysfunction. So you got to remember, ED is actually caused by poor blood flow. So 80% of that is caused by poor blood flow. So that's why the older we get, you get hypertension. The older you get high cholesterol. The older you get end up with heart disease, just like you, Chuck. So, you know, what's happening here, the plumbing, as Dr. Porter said, is diminished, and the amount of blood supply is diminished, and it's blocked up. And there's many, many causes of that. And the most common would be, again, age. Of course, we're getting older. Number two would be hypertension, the vascular problems, blood flow. And then there's a lot of other factors like medication, your habits. You smoke, you drink alcohol. Are you on narcotics? Are you on medications like blood pressure medications, antidepressants that are going to give you that side effect of having erectile dysfunction? One of the
I really blame probably most of my medications are all heart related, everything I have. And I take, you know, gosh, I always made fun of my friends who had all these medications on their counter. Now it's me and I must have 12 that I take every day and three at night. And it's like, it never ends. So I'm sure that I'm, you know, a bad case.
Because the problem here in the US, unfortunately, the way we practice medicine is a Band-Aid approach. You have a problem, there's a pill for every problem, and every pill has its own side effect, right? We have to look at health as a preventive way. So the older we get, there's going to be a hormonal imbalance. After the age of 20, we start to lose our levels of testosterone. Testosterone is a key player in our overall health. So in men, we lose about 5% of testosterone per year after the age of 30. In women, they lose about 50% a year of testosterone after the age of 20. And that's
really?
What you're
saying.
50% in women. And it is actually the most abundant female hormone in women is testosterone. Mm-hmm. It's responsible for your sex drive, your libido, your skin, hair, and nails, you know, how you feel, your mood. It's also responsible for preventing heart disease, dementia, osteoporosis. It builds muscle. It builds bone. So this all comes hand in hand. So, you know, erectile dysfunction is a big thing. I look at it as a multimodality problem. It's a multi-problem. Is it age? Is it my medication? Is it my hormones? Right?
Is it a little bit of everything?
A little bit of everything. Is it my wife? Is it a relationship problem? Is it emotional stress? So you got to look at erectile dysfunction in every way. Now, the Gainswave protocol is one way of helping. And in my practice, I've been doing this on a regular basis here, and it has been very, very successful. And it has changed lives.
So let me ask you both a question. When we're talking, you were just talking about testosterone levels, mm-hmm. and how testosterone levels drop both in men and women. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that are very fearful of doing testosterone therapy or hormone replacement therapy for women.
And there are all kinds of pills on the market. I see, you know, advertised all the time, something man. And I mean, there are just tons of them. Do these things work?
I wouldn't get too excited about most of that stuff.
Okay.
That stuff don't work.
But here's where I'm going with this, if I could. And maybe neither one of you are familiar with this. There's been some research that has shown that young men today have 40% less testosterone than their grandfathers did at the same age. Have either of you heard of that? And what do you think is behind that?
40% less testosterone.
At the same age that a 25-year-old male today has about a 40% less average, 40% less testosterone than his grandfather did at the same age.
Well, I've never heard of it, but if I would just use common sense, environmental factors, medications, habits, I think are key factors, stress.
I think obesity also, because when you have obesity, you have an imbalance between estrogen and testosterone. And you, you know, I was on birth control for 20 years and nobody, not one doctor ever told me that birth control pills would affect my libido, that they would affect my testosterone level. They always talk about antidepressants and things like that, but birth control pills increase your sex hormone binding globulin, which binds up your free testosterone, which mm-hmm. then makes you have less of it around available for use. So when you have estrogen imbalance, which when men get overweight and they carry more fat, their hormone levels get messed up. And a lot of times they get increased estrogen. So it's not necessarily that they have less testosterone. It's that their balance is off, that now they have more estrogen proportionally. And if that balance is off just a little bit, you get weepy men who have ED. And even after testosterone pellets, we use pellets. Sometimes
you're saying this causes people to be Democrats? Well, she says you get weepy men. That's what I heard. You get weepy men.
Well, they get man boobs. So you do have to be careful when you replace. Not all testosterone is created equal, and you do have to be careful. It's in my practice, I care about the total level, the free level, but I also care about the balance of the estrogen to the or estradiol to the testosterone.
Blue Emu works fast and you won't stink. This episode of Blunt Force Truth is brought to you by Blue Emu Pain Relief Products. Now, I've been in show business for many years now, and I'm not slowing down, but I can use a little help every now and then. Blue Emu's family of products are made in America and have become a staple in my life. The deep penetrating formula of Blue Emu Original is best for supporting my muscles and joints, and I'm sure you've seen it. It's on the shelf in a blue and white jar. I also use Maximum Arthritis for any arthritic pain and the Lidocaine Cream for numbing pain relief. Not only do these Blue Emu formulas work great, there's no chill, no burn, and no odor. Blue Emu, it works fast and you won't stink. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Amazon, and other fine retailers.
So what do you think of the fact that you've got so many people, including young men, walking around with cell phones in their front pockets?
Really?
Yes.
That makes a difference?
Might send some signals to the penis causing erectile dysfunction that we still find out.
This is what I've been reading, Chuck. This is what we've been seeing, that you're actually getting EMFs. You're actually causing low-level radiation to your wedding tackle by keeping that cell phone in your front pocket. I like that term. It's just kind of cool.
Wedding tackle.
And you're actually...
some kind of fishing expression. Go ahead, though.
You're irradiating your manhood by putting a telephone in your front pocket. So do you ever tell people to stop carrying a phone in their front pocket or anything?
I've never done that at all.
Haven't gone as far as that. That sounds a little bit like telling people to wear tinfoil hats, in my opinion, but I believe a little bit of
that. Or maybe a tinfoil cup. Maybe they need a tinfoil protecting cup.
Honestly, though, everybody, like Dr. Evangelista said, everybody wants a magic pill. You know what the magic pill is? Take a, just take a bottle and put a Tic Tac in it and take your car and drive it a mile and a half from your house. And every morning, walk from your house to the bottle with the magic pill, eat the Tic Tac, and walk back. If you did that, that would be the one thing that you could do that would most affect your health and improve your penile health, improve your cardiovascular health, improve all that. There's no magic pill. Everybody wants walking, simple walking, 21 to 25 miles a week, getting your heart rate up, not walking, you know, where it takes, you know, you walk a mile an hour, but
I ended up in Encino.
Well, yeah, but Chuck does that, but he sends his butler to get the Tic Tac. He doesn't actually go get it himself.
Of course not.
Chiefs, pick up my Tic Tac.
Look at health rates in New York City, in cities that have bigger parks, that have more, where you don't rely on cars as much, where you're walking more, and there's more of an emphasis on recreation. All those things add up, and again, I think that we. Look at Europe. They walk everywhere. They take a break. They take more vacation. It's all these environmental factors as well. I think cell phones and all that stuff's not great. I think that BPA and plastic and all those things are not great. But at the end of the day, what's the one thing? If there's one thing I could do to tell somebody to do, it's to get an hour of cardiovascular exercise. And there's no benefit of running over walking. Really, you burn like 10% more calories. But an hour of walking a day is huge.
Did you write Chuck a prescription for that?
Yes, she did.
I did.
Good.
I lost it, but she
and you immediately lost that prescription as soon as you
dropped out
there.
Of my pocket on the way out of the office. It was amazing. I have no idea. I've been looking all over for it.
You probably had it in your front pocket with your telephone, and when you pulled your phone out, then there went there went the prescription.
But people don't want to hear that because it's not sexy and it involves work on people's part. There was a recent article in the Atlantic. Did you see that, Dr. Evangelista, about the world's worst patients? And it was basically saying that Americans, compared to other people, they just want us to fix everything. Yeah. And you're talking about a magic pill. And that's great, except the current environment where we are with legislature, with insurance, with hospitals and corporations, we don't have 30 minutes to talk to do those things anymore. And as PCS, the country is now, you can't tell somebody, hey, you know why your back hurts? You know why your knees hurt? Because you weigh 400 pounds.
Yeah.
And I'm not blaming you for weighing 400 pounds, but that's contributing to your back pain. How can I help you? What can I do for you to help you get the weight down and feel better? Because it's contributing to all these problems. You can't say that anymore because patients are not patients, they're customers. And mm-hmm. I don't like to be told I'm fat. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes to be told to quit smoking. It hurts, it stings because it feels personal. And so that's part of the reason why I got out of even the ER. I mean, it's infiltrated our entire culture, this whole PC thing. And now I get to practice medicine the way I want to, which is, as Chuck knows, I take the time that it takes to get the job done. There's a conversation that happens, and this is my opinion, and I involve the patient, but it's not just a pill.
I spent 3 hours in her office.
Yes, you did.
Well, this is an important...
I spent the better part of my adult life in her office.
But this is an important distinction here. And that is that under our current healthcare system, the average doctor gets to see a patient for 6 minutes. And that's the average.
You know, I got to say, let me say something here in defense of doctors. I must say that I have a lot of doctors, obviously. I've got a ton of them. I got five at least different things. As you get older, I suppose that's maybe important, maybe not. But the point is I do. And every one of them always take their time with me, and I'm on Medicare. I used to have the greatest insurance in the world through SAG and AFTRA. I mean, it was like bulletproof, and I had to drop all that at 65 because of government. So now I'm on Medicare and everything else, and it's rough. But you know, I don't spend 2 or 3 minutes with a doctor. They spend probably
I think your experience is an exception.
Well, maybe. I mean, I'm in Texas, so
part of that exception, quite honestly, is the fact that you're a celebrity.
Yeah, but that wears off after a while. I mean, celebrity, you know, eventually people get to know you and you're just Chuck. You're not Chuck on Love Connection or Chuck with a past and all that kind of stuff. You just become another guy in shorts at Walmart.
Well, but the reality is it is normal for about 6 minutes, though. 6 minutes is the average that a doctor gets.
Is that true? I mean, you guys are both doctors. You've experienced this on, out of your offices and other...
It's kind of true, because the thing is, it's not like you don't want to spend time with the patient, but you're cut for time because, number one, the insurance will pay you the same amount, whether it's 5 minutes or 10, 15 minutes.
Right.
They cut the reimbursements. Your overhead costs are going up. So you gotta make the money, And unfortunately, and then there's a lot of regulations and rules that you got to follow based on what the insurance tells you.
So getting back to the ED thing, let me ask you this, because that's what we're talking about, and that's what you all specialize in. How long does it take for results?
Okay, good question. So, again, it's not a magic pill, right? You're trying to fix vascular supply. You gotta look at the patient as a whole. Is there other factors that are leading to the guy's erectile dysfunction? The Gainswave treatment itself, again, is shockwave therapy, kind of get rid of the microplaque.
Well, then let me ask you this. If you don't do certain things to adjust your habits,
mm-hmm.
Then it won't work, is what you're saying?
No, not necessarily. It will, but not to an extent of where you're going to have great success. So a good example would be a 74-year-old guy with hypertension on antidepressants and blood pressure pills that is going to make him soft. I mean, he's not going to get the results of that of a 40-year-old guy who has no other
medical that makes sense, issues, sure.
Right? Okay. But the Gainswave treatment is supposed to improve the number of collaterals and blood supply to the penis. Right? How long will it take to see results? In my practice, I've seen it at around fourth or fifth treatment. There's a number of treatments required depending on the patient's history, his background, and his age. How bad is his ED? If you've got severe erectile dysfunction, you're going to need at least up to 6 to 12 treatments even to see a result. If you're a guy like me who has no erectile dysfunction, all I need is 1 or 2 treatments and I'm going to be like super hard in the next few days. So,
what about this is it called a pea shot? Is that what it's called, or is it got another name?
Yeah, the priapus shot. Yeah.
Okay, so
the same. I would say the same thing. Sick. I've had people that have had results. Well,
that's not part of the protocol. That's
it's
like
not a, part of the Gainsway protocol. That's something that I do, and I believe Dr. Evangelista does as well. Right. As an adjunct, they kind of do sort of the same thing, but they just do it via a different method. Mark, are you familiar with the priapus shot at all?
Absolutely. Platelet-rich plasma.
He's the one who told me about it to begin with, Mark.
Yeah, but we also, I'm involved with a stem cell facility, and we actually also do a similar thing with actual stem cells.
Yeah.
Which gets an amazing result.
So a similar kind of idea, but injecting platelet-rich plasma, which is basically your whole blood spun down into growth factors. We isolate the growth factors, or you can use stem cells, and inject them back into the penis, and then use a vacuum erectile device, also called the penis pump, afterward to kind of help form a gel matrix there, and then use that a couple times a day.
Back up just a minute. I missed that. You use what to do what?
Something we use there's a penis pump. The penis pump you use afterward helps in the first few days afterward to help the platelet-rich plasma kind of set up in the area and recruit stem cells. So basically, the platelet-rich plasma hangs out for about 3 days in the area. Then it forms this PRFM, platelet-rich fibrin matrix, that hangs out for about 3 weeks. And then after around 3 weeks or so, you start to recruit stem cells. So people will see results with erectile performance, with nerves and blood flow in probably 8 to 12 weeks. Similar with Gainsway, I agree with you. I'll have people, if they have had no ED, they went out and had a great time at a swinger club that night, if they were 45 or 50 years old and had an erection that lasted 6 hours with one treatment. Same with women with FemiWave. But the gentlemen who have more issues, it's usually around week 2 or 3. And then you continue to have the blood vessel growth happen for up to 2 to 3 months afterward. And then also, I think, same thing with priapus shot, around 3 months.
When people come in, they don't have to expect an overnight result.
No.
I don't promise them that.
But no, I know, but I think that a lot of men probably expect that.
Everybody wants that in this culture. This is the Amazon Prime. We had Amazon Prime, and now we have Amazon same day delivery, Amazon Now.
Right.
Like, that's the way the world has moved.
We are a fast food society, is what you're saying. And usually when you go to the doctor, you want an instant result, or at least see something that's happening.
Yeah, and people aren't getting, they're not grasping the whole idea that you didn't get this way overnight. You're not going to deal with it overnight.
Rome wasn't built in a day. I say that all the time.
I think like Cialis and Viagra have given men the ability to think that it can happen within 15 or 20 minutes, much less overnight, correct?
Well, yeah, you can put Trimix injection into your penis, which is a combination of vasodilator drugs, and you can get an erection that lasts 5 hours in, 5 minutes. That happens. That's what porn stars use a lot of the times.
I do that all the time, Chuck.
You're not fixing the problem. You're talking about the Band-Aid approach, Chuck.
Yeah.
Chuck,
What has happened, what people expect.
You can slap a Band-Aid on and stop bleeding faster than you can sew up the wound, but the Band-Aid is going to leave you with a worse scar and maybe an infection and not ever heal. If something needs stitches, it needs stitches.
And now you also have to keep in mind, Chuck, too, that stuff like Viagra and Cialis doesn't work for everyone.
No?
No. When you're looking at those drugs, and I'll let the doctors comment, but essentially what you're looking at drugs which you're accessing or I'm trying to think of the easiest way to explain this. You're basically collecting nitric oxide so that it's available for the erection. But in a lot of cases, people don't even have the nitric oxide available because they're not even eating a diet that has nitric oxide, or they're not even supplementing with any nitric oxide. So they're taking the pills, and the pills aren't doing anything for them anyway.
Since we have two doctors on, would anybody like to chime in with a professional opinion?
Mark is absolutely right. You know, our body, aside from having low testosterone and that's dropping, you have this chemical called nitric oxide, which Mark mentioned, that is a vasodilator. So it opens.
Now, is there a pill for nitric oxide?
You can buy that anywhere. Yeah.
So that would be an answer, correct?
That's a good way to start.
That was those Neo 40 lozenges I gave you before.
Yeah.
Oh, you did give me those.
So what that does.
My breath improved greatly.
Nitric oxide vasodilates you, right? But the problem is, if you've got arterial problems or pipe problems, like in your case, heart disease, so there's still other issues that need to be fixed. You've got to take out the plaque, get the cholesterol down, open up the artery. So, you know, the Viagra doesn't work for everyone. You know, you can give somebody Viagra. If their nitric oxide is low, it won't work. If their nitric oxide was good, but then they had no good plumbing.
Where would you naturally get, what's it called?
Nitric oxide.
Nitric oxide. Where would you, how does that naturally occur in your diet?
Well, you can get it as a supplement called L-citrulline.
But it doesn't come in any foods or things like that?
Yes, it does. Stuff like kale, a lot of the dark greens, nitric oxide is present in beets. It's really prevalent in beets. That's why you'll see supplements of stuff like super beet.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's fixing plumbing. I also would get back to, you know, you can, my analogy is we can polish the car all day long, but if it doesn't have any gas in it, it's not going to go anywhere. So I always check a testosterone in every patient that I do Gainswave on and, or that I do a priapus shot on, because there's no point, you're not going to get a result if your testosterone is 200. Mine's 250 right now because I use supplementation. I get
now. What do you use it? What do you recommend as a supplement? Either doctor, you may have different opinions, but
I use pellets. I get pellets every 3 to 4 hormone pellets every 3 to 4 months. I use BioT in my clinic. That's a branded pellet that I use, and I treat
when
my
you
patients.
Say pellet?
With.
Are you saying you mean pill?
No, it's an implant. It's a powder made of wild yam and soy that are implanted with a little tiny incision. It's like a sterile X-Acto knife. There's not stitches or anything, and they go in the sub-Q fat, so kind of on the hip.
Is that the same thing you use, sir?
Oh, yeah, I do. I've been on it for 4 years. As a matter of fact, that's how I got into all this stuff, was I had my own medical problems, and I was trying to find an answer to my own health.
No, you're a young man. You're not that. How old are you?
I'm 41. But remember when, let's go back to what I said earlier, men lose about 5% of testosterone per year after the age of 30.
What is this called so our listeners can understand what it is? Cause it may be, you know, important to them.
It's basically testosterone, right? So you're giving somebody testosterone. I like calling it testosterone hormone optimization therapy, where you're trying to improve it. There's many ways you can get testosterone, either through an injection, a gel, a patch.
This is an incision and something that lasts for how long?
For women, it can last up to 3 to 4 months. In men, it can last up to 5 to 6 months. So I'm using the same thing. I use Bioidentical.
And this is a very simple procedure. It's not something that involves a lot of pain or whatever. It's a
very, very minimally invasive procedure. It's done
and
in the
where
office.
Do you normally put this?
In the hip of somebody. It's going to be implanted underneath. Yep.
Okay.
When you say in the butt, people think you mean like a suppository.
Yeah. Well, not the butthole. Not the butthole.
In the hip.
In the cheek.
No, I don't use, and as you and I spoke, I don't use the pellets. I use an injectable testosterone and use it on a twice a week.
Of course, and you have a truck that backs up to your house every day with the, yeah, I know.
I have a refrigerator full of drugs. But for me, and I explained it, we use the testosterone cypionate injections because we're actually really looking at foxocycline and trying.
But that's something you have to do every day, right, Mark? I think you've told me about this before.
Twice a week.
Okay, this lasts 4 to 6 months for women, 4 months.
It's probably easier for most patients because most patients probably aren't really into giving themselves.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it just as effective as his shots or not?
You know what? I think it is. It just depends on how you're doing it. If you're monitoring levels, I mean, you just got to keep an eye on those levels. I think just by replacing testosterone in itself, whether it's an injection, whether it's in pellet form, as long as you're doing something to optimize those numbers and improve health, you're going to reduce your risk for mortality. They even had a big study on that, on testosterone replacement in older men, that it reduces the risk of heart attack and death.
You know, not as a disclaimer, but just as an explanation, the reason we're doing this show is because this is something that's happening all the time with men and women. Mostly men we hear about more than anything else, but I'm sure with women as well. And it's important to know that there are ways to overcome this. It becomes almost a disability. And also how you feel about yourself. I mean, this kind of your impression of how you feel as a man or how you feel as a woman, it's kind of like losing a step as you get older, where basically
not necessary.
It's not necessarily, you don't have to lose that step if you don't want to. It's your choice. But I think it's an important show for that reason. That
it is. And Chuck, let me expand on that. Here's something that we need to get people to think of, or I'd love to get people to think of. This is stuff that we talk about on Living Beyond 120. And that is, here in America, we think of our healthcare being the responsibility of a doctor. And we don't think of it as being our own responsibility. And we think that when we go to the doctor is not working in a typical environment, not like these doctors, but in a typical environment, the doctor's relationship is with the insurance company or with Medicare. It's actually not with the patient, because that's who's calling the shots. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, we kind of get this impression that if I go to the doctor and the doctor says I need X, then that's what I need. And if the doctor doesn't say I need X, then I don't need that. We need to expand our thinking outside of healthcare and outside of insurance, and we need to start taking responsibility for our own health. And we need to start understanding that there are lots of treatments and lots of different modalities that we can take part in, like these two doctors both are capable of delivering, which are not going to be covered by insurance, are not going to be covered by Medicare. But we need to change our mindset and start thinking of our health as our most important asset. We think of money as an asset. People will say, I have an asset manager that takes care of my money. No, we need people to think of money as a resource. And your asset is your health. So all of a sudden, you need to go to a doctor like both these doctors we're interviewing with, because you can feel more youthful. You can feel younger. You can perform not only sexually, but mentally, physically, and all kinds of other ways at a much higher level if you're willing to stop thinking of Medicare and insurance as your paradigm and start focusing on what can I do to be the best I can be.
Testosterone changed my life. It changed my life. It saved my marriage and changed my life.
Absolutely. I have no question about that.
And my family has, I've had high cholesterol since I was 19. My father, my grandfather, my grandmother on my father's side, everyone has a bad heart and they've all had bypass. And somebody tried to put me on Lipitor at 19. And, you know, Lipitor is the most commonly prescribed.
I've been on Lipitor for 20 years.
Yeah, single drug is actually Synthroid, but in the world. But Lipitor as a class, all the statin drugs, the cholesterol lowering drugs are the most commonly prescribed class. And guess what? They haven't done jack to lower the risk of heart disease.
Well, then why is it
still the number one killer in women? Because drug companies. I mean, because it's a pill. People feel like if I take this pill that my doctor prescribed, then all I have to do is just do this. It's easier to take a pill than it is to get off.
I'll tell you what, with my cardiologist, the next conversation I'm going to have with him is, can I get off Lipitor?
Well, don't do it abruptly.
Well, you wouldn't want to do that, Chuck, because you just said you had coronary artery disease, you had a bypass. Well, I mean, these drugs do something, right? There are medical literature backing that up. When you have heart disease, the combination of aspirin, a beta blocker, a statin drug like Lipitor does help. But for people who haven't had that problem yet, like a younger person, like Dr. Ford at 19, why would you put them on poison? Mm-hmm. That drug has problems, like it can cause muscle damage, it can cause liver issues. You know, there's a lot of things that these drugs can cause. So the point here is, you got to do something that's going to improve health by more natural means, exercise, diet, and improving your hormones.
Well, I think when we come to medicine, Chuck, we come to medicine with all these drugs and these pills. But if you think about in common sense, who would believe that somebody has a Prozac deficiency?
Yeah.
Or that they have a Lipitor deficiency? We're not dealing with, we're saying, let's put the Band-Aid on. So we're saying somebody comes in and says, I'm a diabetic. Here's some insulation or some insulin. What we're not doing is saying, well, why are you a diabetic? Let's find out why you have diabetes. Maybe we can solve that problem.
So I have two things that I deal with. One is I'm thankful to be alive, because I am the oldest person in the history of my paternal side of my family. They all died between 45 and 55 or 58. At 58, I had my heart surgery. I've been on a lot of medication. I'm now 78, so I've made it for 20 years. So I feel like I've added 20 years onto my life, although I didn't have a heart attack or anything. I just had a scare. And my problem was found. So I am very grateful for surgery, for doctors, and for my medication to this point. Now, the other thing that I have to deal with, and I'm having to deal with it more recently than I ever had to deal with, and this is a psychological problem, is that I constantly have to fight.
I have been a young man all my life. When I was in my 20s, it's oddly enough, when I was in my teens, like 12, 13, 14, I looked like I was 20. When I was 30, I looked like I was 20. When I was 40, I looked like I was 25 or 26. Now I'm 78, and I still don't look my age, but I have to fight day and night, literally fight day and night to keep the old man out. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? It is an absolute battle to keep that old man from coming into my head and my mind and my body and try to function as a young man in an old man's body with an old man's, well, hopefully not an old man's mind, because I continue to learn, and I think that keeps you young. But it is, it's a battle. It really is.
What you're talking about, Chuck, is a mindset. Mm-hmm. And what happens to people.
Well, you know me better than anybody, Mark.
I know. And you're doing a great job. And here's why. Because too often, as people get older, they start to believe that their past is bigger than their future.
Mm-hmm.
And the best part of their life is behind them. Now, you don't do that because you're grateful for your life. I know you.
Right.
You're grateful for your life. You're grateful for your kids, and you're grateful for Kristen. And you have many things to live for, but people start to think that the best is behind me. And when they start to do that, stuff starts falling apart.
Because I think this all ties into what you two doctors do. There's a great mental side to this, especially with older people, that you just have to be aware of. I mean, it's a real battle. I've noticed, for instance, in my life, and forgive me for using myself as an example, it's the only thing I have. But I've noticed in my life, when I moved to Texas from California, when I was in California, I worked out 4 days a week. I had Monday, Tuesday, off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. When I moved to Texas, I stopped working out. I stopped running. I stopped walking. I stopped doing everything. So I've been here for 15 years, and I have been basically inactive. I stopped it like that. Because I just had enough of it. I was really tired of it. And I'm noticing that this is really starting to take its toll on me now in backaches and aches that I didn't have before because I'm sedentary. And I really need to get off my butt. So I would encourage all the older people out there listening, take my advice and get off your butt. And, you know, Mark's been trying to get me to do this. I have a stationary bike that I bought a year and a half ago, and
I pump it
four times. Okay, it sits in my room, and I look at it as a piece of art. So
you take my advice, Chuck, as your doctor, because we did have a doctor-patient relationship, and get off your butt because that's what I prescribe.
Well, I know it's true, but it's easier said than done because you get into these ruts,
habits,
and habits. Yeah,
so they're exactly called habits,
right. But yep, a rut
so
becomes a habit. Or a habit
never,
a rut,
one of the two. Nobody ever gets rid of a habit. You can replace a habit with another habit.
Mm-hmm.
So hey, Chuck, maybe you want to try some testosterone.
I've actually been trying to encourage him to do that.
Well, I'm open to that. I would be very happy to do that.
You'd feel 20 years younger. Would both of you agree with me on that?
I would agree.
And your mental state would be better. Forgetfulness goes away. The brain fog goes away.
But how long does that process take normally? I mean, I'm sure everybody's different, but generally speaking, if you start
people feel better at the 4 week follow up. I have people that are feeling better at their 4 week follow up.
Okay. That's right.
Is that right? Everybody, we all agree. Okay.
Yeah.
It would change your life.
You know, this is a fascinating show. I think it's really interesting to. I know it's embarrassing for some people. I am easily embarrassed, and my doctor knows that. It doesn't take much of me just kind of go, you know, and turn red. But it's something that needs to be talked about openly and without maybe kids and stuff like that. But I think it's just interesting and necessary.
With no pills, I have people feeling better at 60, having better sex at 60 than they did at 30 with zero pills. And with spontaneity again. And
with
Euro
pills?
Huge.
Now, yeah, that's the first time I've heard
with
Euro
zero
pills.
Zero pills.
Zero.
Zero, no pills. Zero pills.
Oh,
no,
with zero.
No pills.
You mean mm-hmm. Zero pills like for heart disease?
They're not taking Viagra. They're not taking Cialis. Oh, okay. There's not really anything for women. They're not having, you know, they're.
I'm going to tell you right now, Chuck, at 62, I am capable of doing anything physically that I was capable of doing when I was 25. I'm the fastest I've ever been on a racetrack with a car. I'm the fastest I've ever been on a motorcycle. My physical strength is through the roof.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me explain something, folks. Hold on just a second. When he says on the racetrack, he's talking about a Ducati motorcycle, okay?
Well, I'm talking about cars.
That's like a Ferrari. And then the other one is he's got, what is that car you have? The Audi R8.
Audi R8.
Which is like faster than a Lamborghini. So give me a break with that.
But my skill level has gotten better. My learning ability has gone up. My cognitive function tests have all gone up.
Mark, are you on thyroid medication, may I ask?
Yes.
Yeah. So am I.
Compounded. So look, as we wrap the show up, first I want everybody to know, you know, I appreciate both doctors being here. And if you go to the show notes at bluntforcetruth.com and you look at this episode, we'll have contact information for both of the doctors. So if you're in the Detroit area or in the Austin area, you can certainly reach out to either one of these doctors, which I recommend. We'll also have information for Gainswave if you want to learn more about Gainswave. But as we wrap the show up, I'm going
to
go.
Is there anything you two would like to say before we close the show? Anything?
What I want to do is I want to go to both of them and ask them to each give us the three most important things that they think patients should be doing.
Well, they'll probably agree on the same things, I would imagine, but go ahead.
So who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Be your own advocate.
Okay.
Health is wealth, so take care of yourself. It's all about prevention.
Okay. Anything to add to that?
I would say getting off your butt and get moving. Exercise increases dopamine. That's a happy chemical in the brain. It does great wonders for penis health. It does great wonders for mental, emotional health, and for heart health. That's huge. I would say definitely hormone optimization and just getting past that fear of thinking of hormones as bad. And let's see what would be the third thing.
That's seven there.
Yeah. I'd like to say diet, but I don't eat as well as I should. But I'm starting to believe more.
You know what's changed my wife's life, which is really fascinating, and I don't think I've told you about this. Mark knows about it. She was having arthritic pain in parts of her body and her hands and things. And she's, you know, a fairly young woman. And also she was going into menopause and a little past premenopausal where things weren't kind of as regular as normal. And a woman walked into her restaurant one day and she saw her and she'd known her for several years. And she looked at her and she said, God, you look like you're like 25 years old. What have you done? She said, well, I'm eating raw. And so Kristen found out what that was. She's been eating raw now for a year and a half, which is to me some kind of miracle. I don't know how she does that. I couldn't do it. I see what she eats and I couldn't do it. She'll eat 10 bananas.
No, by the way, let me tell you why that works. It's less about eating raw and it's more about the fact that she cut out all the chemicals. She cut out all the flour. She cut out all the grains, and she cut out all the sugars.
That's what happened. Is that
feel better?
She is not in menopause anymore. She is on a absolute regular menstrual schedule. All the pain is gone, and every place that she had it. And when she gets off it for a couple of days, just say, well, "I'm going to try this and see what happens." It comes right back.
Yeah.
There's no denying. I live with her 24 hours a day. I know her, and there's no denying that. This is happening. So diet, you know, I guess it really does play you are what you eat, I suppose. That's an old kind of axiom, but whatever.
An apple a day keeps the doctor away, right? There's an adage to that.
Yeah. Well, we don't always want to keep the doctor away, though. Yeah. We want people to go see the doctor.
Listen, we want to thank you both very, very much for coming on and sharing your information with us. And as time goes on, we'd like to have you back and continue to discuss this stuff because I think it's relevant and really interesting for most people, and hopefully it will be. And if you're listening to the show, I hope you'll give us a really good 4-star.
Five. We want 5 stars, Chuck.
Oh, pardon me. 5 stars. Yeah. But anyway, we hope you enjoyed it today, and we'll be back to see you on Blunt Force Truth next time. In the meantime, thank you, doctors, very much for your
expertise
and help. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.